Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right. Well, as you can tell, Pastor Joey is not here. They are, actually, I don't know where they are. I think they're at the beach. But he didn't go with the youth, but I think he went down to be close to the youth in case they needed a bodyguard. I'm not sure, but it's a good time for him and Pastor Kim to be away and just get some sand time. Anybody need sand time?
Amen.
Sand is good most of the time. But if you got little kids down there, you know you're vacuuming sand for months and months and months out of your car. Anyway, beside the point. All right, today what I want to talk about is I just finished a book called The Worship Warrior by Chuck Pierce and John Dixon. Now, I'm going to make a confession to you that I am not a book reader. In fact, the first 60 years of my life, I may have read completed probably 5 books in my whole life. But since about 2 years now, we did, you know, at the beginning of the year, how we do our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I was at a place in my life, I've raised in church, I've been involved in church my whole life, but I was at a place in my life that something had to give. And it wasn't the Lord, it was me. And so I committed to get up early, which I've never been an early person. I was a late stayer-upper and a late getter-upper. The only time I would get up, it was two reasons. Was one, if I had to go to work, and two, if somebody invited me to go hunting and we had to get up early. Other than that, I was a late getter-upper. But since I've been getting up and spending time reading books, reading my Bible and praying, man, I'm telling you what. At one point, I thought, what else is there that I can learn? But right now, today, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got so much to learn, it's not funny. It's unbelievable. But this book, if you are a reader and you love to worship, I would recommend this book. The pastor has read it, and it's very good. Do you know the power of your worship? Do you know the songs that we sang this morning? I did not, even though we had scheduled these songs a month ago, I didn't really focus on the songs that we were doing this morning until this morning when I was at home rehearsing them again. And the power of the words that we sang, just like Cornerstone, Lord, when I'm weak, you'll help me through the storm. How many have been through a storm in your life? How many can really say, had it not been for the Lord, I don't know where I would be. I mean, you know, some people when they face a storm, they like to be like an ostrich and stick their head in the sand and pretend it's not there. But the problem is their head doesn't realize it, but their body is getting all beat up from the wind blowing. And when you pull your head out of the sand, guess what? You still got to deal with it. But the Lord wants to help us in our storms because they're coming. They're here. And you know, the power of worship is so strong, and the devil knows it. You know, he got kicked out of heaven because he craved worship. He said, he looked at God. In fact, he participated in the worship. But then he got to a point where he says, I want that. And he had a face-off with God, and God kicked him out of heaven. And so now he can't get worship from the angel. Well, he did a third of them because he is a conniving little punk, and he talked him into, you know, going with him. But he wants to steal our worship now. And let me just tell you this right off the bat. Worship isn't always about music. Worship is about your lifestyle. Now, that might be hard to think, but a scripture that just comes to my mind is, he who knows to do the right thing and doesn't do it, it is sin. Well, if you know the right thing to do and you do it, that's worship. There's many times when I walk into up to the sheriff's office and I see a piece of paper and I see it and I think, well, a trustee will get it. And then it's like the Holy Spirit says, trustee, nothing. How about you get it? And so I get the paper and I'm like, Lord, you know, you're right. I'm not above any of that. And I'm doing it for the glory of the Lord. If I look at my life as every step I take is for the glory of the Lord, then everything I do is for his glory too. That is worship. Now, having said that, for me, music is a big part of worship. I do it at home. I do it in my car. When at work, right now, I got a new work truck, and I got Sirius XM for 6 months free, and they got a new station, 95. It's all worship. It's awesome. Golly, it's awesome. And I love it because I get to drive, and so I get other captains and people in my car, and that's what they're hearing. And so I'm praying and believing that the words that they're hearing through song, which a lot of straight from the Word of God, just put melody to it. That's what King David did. He took the scripture and put music to it, and that's what we do too. And so I use music as a ministry tool too, because I don't know what they're going through, and they may not talk to me, but they may hear a phrase in a song and it begin to make them think, what I call, it may make them have a Jesus migraine. So the devil, he craves music so bad, or worship so bad. When Jesus come on the scene, he knew something was up. And so what did he do? He took Jesus and led him into the forest. For 40 days, Jesus fasted, and the devil met him there. And the devil tempted him. He tempted him with bread, because in the scripture it says, in the end of 40 days, Jesus became hungry. How many of you would be hungry at the end of 40 days? How many of you would be hungry at the end of 40 minutes? I mean, we was talking about fasting a little bit this morning before we came out here. And how 24 hours about all I can go. And I'm like, yeah, sometimes it's like 2 hours about all I can go, because we have an affinity for food. But after 40 days, Jesus slap was hungry, and the devils told him, said, well, hey, turn this stone into bread. The devil was trying to appeal to the flesh of Jesus, because he had hunger pains, probably like I have never experienced. I can tell you that, because I have not fasted 40 days. But he was trying to appeal to his flesh. Turn his bread to stone, you'll be okay. And what did Jesus do? He combated him with the word. And then he took him up onto the temple. And he says, hey, the word says that if you jump off of here, the angels will catch you. He was trying to harass him a little bit and say, if the word is true, if God's word is true, you can jump off and nothing will hurt you. What did Jesus do? Use the word against him. I'm not going to tempt the Lord. And then he took him to a high mountain and he showed him all the splendors of the world. He was trying to appeal to Jesus' ego, which he didn't have, and to his greed, which he didn't have. The devil certainly had it. And says, I'll give you all of this if you'll just bow down and worship me. And Jesus retorted and said, no, because the scripture says to have no other God before me. There's only one God. So my first slide is this, if I got this right. What you worship, you serve, and what you serve, you worship. Now, my intention today is not to step on toes, but if I step on your toes, you need to take it up with the Lord. So my question to you is, what are you worshiping? My hope is that everybody in this room, we could stand up if we went one by one and say, man, I'm serving the Lord. I mean, I have my rough days and rough times, but I'm serving the Lord because I'm dedicated. I'm fixed on the Lord. But we get fixated on a sports team. Or how about a rock band or country band or a rap band or even a mountain yodelers group band? Cars, motorcycles, boats. Martha, I'm sorry, but when I wrote that down, I thought of you. The mountain yodelers, just because you like to play the fiddle and violin. And I'm sure out there on the river, Stuart probably goes out there and tries a little bit of yodeling, don't you? Come on. Be honest, Stuart. Or clothes or jewelry. Do we crave and desire that? Or what about yourself? Who is on the throne of your heart? Is it your pocketbook? Worship. This is a definition of worship. To honor or show reverence to as a divine being or a supernatural power. To regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. Now, if I just was to read the definition, you'd say, well, that's obviously to the Lord. But truth of the matter is there is a lot of idol worship around us. You know, our country, you know, I love America. I really do. And I say the Pledge of Allegiance often because of I'm in a Kiwanis group and we say it every week. And I'm dedicated to the country. But if it comes to the country or God, I got to make a choice. And of course, it's going to be God. Now, I believe God has blessed the United States. We still have religious freedom today. Tomorrow may be a different thing. And I say that to say this. That's why right now worship is so important for us, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. You know, there's plenty of people in this country who are trying to make us communists, where they can kick God out completely like we did in the schools. They want to continue to do it some more. But they can't take what's in you. If the Holy Spirit isn't residing in you and your love for God and your affections for God and your worship for the Lord, if that isn't in you, you're in trouble. Because when hardships come, you're going to go the easy path. And you can read many stories in the Old Testament and see where people chose the easy path. But there are some that chose God's path. And what God did for them, it wasn't easy, but God brought them through and they were able to accomplish what they were intended to do. So now, what is the definition of a worshiper? One who performs or takes part in worship or an act of worship. We are one or the other. We're always worshiping something. Either we worship God or we worship something other than God. Here, there is no in between. You can't say, well, I mean, I don't worship God, but I don't have a famous person or sports team. You can name all the stuff you don't do. So the bottom line is, if you say you don't worship none of that, then you're worshiping yourself. Psalms 22:3 says that God inhabits or he enthrones the praises of his people. Listen, whether you believe it or not, I believe the Holy Spirit was hovering over us this morning when we were singing worship to God. Here again, those that your attention during is focused on the Lord and you're not focused on who might see me with my hand up or, man, look at that blouse. That is gorgeous. Or, man, that dude really needs to shave the back of his neck. If you're looking at that stuff, there's a question about your worship this morning. And listen, we meet one time a week for worship like this. One time a week for an hour and a half. Is that difficult to do? Now, I get it. Some of you awesome cooks got stuff in the crock pot at home, and before you left, it was starting to smell good in the house, or Cracker Barrel's running a special, whatever it might be for after service. And I'm guilty too. I told Jamie, I said, I can remember specific times, sitting on a front row, thinking about when do we get to go eat lunch. So I'm guilty too. But God inhabits his praises. That means he sits down amongst us, or he hovers over us to see, to hear, to embrace, to take in our praise and our worship to the Lord. And worship is not an activity for the weak or the wimpy. You know, some of us men, you know, we might think, I'm not going to raise my hands because that's not a manly thing to do. Well, you can go read in the scripture. We're commanded to raise hands. And listen, I know this too, that I have 10 grandkids, and we don't see them often, even though we live in the same county. But when we do see them, we try and encourage them. I know Jamie, she'll get in their face when they start bickering at each other. But she tries to point them to the Lord and saying, is this how you're supposed to act? Is this how the Lord wants you to act? And she'll play YouTube videos with songs that we sing, and the kids will stop and learn and look and listen. And our two little guys, Max and Malachi, they're 2 years old, they'll be throwing stuff, and as soon as a song comes on, they'll stop and look at the TV. And sometimes you'll see a little hand go up like this, and they don't even know what they're doing. But what they are doing is they're mimicking, or they're copying what they see on TV. And I know that we've had those songs going, and Jamie will start jumping around and dancing, and them little kids come up there, and they don't have a beat to their body, but they're jumping up and down because they're seeing what their gammy is doing, and they're mimicking her. Your kids are mimicking you. What kind of example in worship are you being? All right. The songs we sing are the words. They're the word. They're directives from the Lord. We are commanded in Scripture to sing. Now, what's this next slide? How does it look? Because I have got a ton of scriptures to back this up. Couldn't read them all unless you wanted to be here till 2 o'clock. But this is what I want to say. If you want to, you can take a picture with your phone of these notes and check them out. Don't believe it just because I'm telling you. Just like Pastor Joey says, what he preaches, check it out for yourself. And I'm saying the same thing. But we are instructed to sing. And there's all kinds of verses in Psalms about singing. We're instructed to pray. We're instructed to worship. We're instructed to clap our hands. We're instructed to bow, to kneel. We're instructed to stand, and we're instructed to shout. All these things are straight from the Word that we get to do. You don't have to do them, but we get to do them. And there's 7 words of praise and worship. The first one is halal. Yeah, skip on past this. I let them take pictures of my notes because I got 5 pages, y'all. 5 pages, so I'm going fast, and I got something I want to do towards the end. So anyway, the first one is halal, which means to boast, to rave, to shine, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. The second one is shabak, to address in loud tone. Who in here's got a loud mouth? You know what? During praise and worship, that's a great opportunity to be loud. Just try and be on key if you can. Okay? Number 3 is zamar, to make music, to celebrate in song and music, to touch the strings or parts of a musical instrument. That's what we're doing up here. But you guys can too. That's a musical instrument. When we got a song with a little bit of tempo to it, you can clap your hands. Now, if you can't carry a beat, watch your neighbor. Clap when they clap. All right, we are to bow. That means get on our knees. Now, I know some of us, myself right here, I can get down easy, but getting up is difficult. But we're to kneel, we're to stand up, and we're to shout. Actually, I already went over them. Number 4 is todah, an extension of the hand, thanksgiving, a confession, a sacrifice of praise, thanking him for things not yet revealed, a choir of worshipers. There's barak, to kneel, to bless God as an act of adoration, to praise, to salute, to thank. Number six is yada, to revere or worship with extended hands, to hold out the hands, to throw a stone or an arrow. That means there's action to it. Anybody ever thrown a stone? Did you get in trouble? If you didn't get into trouble, it's because you missed whatever you was aiming for, aren't you? Yeah. And then tehillah, it's laudation, a hymn, a song of praise, a new song, or a spontaneous song. Have you ever noticed there are times up here where what we call it flowing. We call it reading the room, where the song may be over, but we continue to play. And there are times, I know I've heard Kelsey do it, and I think everybody does it, but I don't hear him. I know I've heard Brian do it too, where we'll start singing something. It's not necessarily the words of the song, but we begin to sing what is in us. You know the scripture that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? This is one of those times. If you desire to be able to sing a new song, I would suggest this. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time reading Psalms. Get that word in you. And then when these times come, you'll be able to start singing Psalms to a tune that you're familiar with, but you've never heard the words before, but you're making them up. You're singing a new song to the Lord. And I believe He loves it. I know He does. We are worship warriors. In other words, like I said earlier, worship isn't for the wimpy. It's not for the faint-hearted. And you want to know why? Because when you begin to truly worship, the enemy is going to come at you. He's going to try and make you, even in the middle of worship, I've had my hands up and started thinking about lunch. He's going to throw distractions your way because he knows the importance of it. So if you got to shake your head, whatever it is, knock that water out your ear and get focused back on your worship to the Lord. And we are warriors because according to Ephesians 6, read Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, talks about the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, having shoes of peace, the belt of truth, the sword of the spirit, and the shield of faith. He gives us what we need to be battle ready. And it's not just for Sunday mornings. Because in my opinion, Sunday mornings is pretty easy. Sometimes getting ready for Sunday morning can be difficult. But when we get here, it's pretty easy because you're just joining in with what's around you. But now, tomorrow morning, when nobody's there but you and your family, things can become difficult because you start thinking about your responsibilities, and that's natural. But tomorrow isn't any different than today. We're just not all in the flesh together. But your worship is every bit as important tomorrow as it is today. All right. Cool story. Write this down. You want to go check it out later, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat was wanting to go to battle. Well, he called the prophet and said, hey, I need to know, do we need to go to battle? And the prophet inquires of the Lord, and the Lord says, yep, but this is how they need to do it. So the prophet goes and tells King Jehoshaphat, said, look, this is what you do. Get everybody ready. Get all the children of Israel ready in battle attire. But have Judah go first. Judah was the worshipers. He said, have your worshipers go in front of the army. Now, King Jehoshaphat's like, I don't understand that plan, but the prophet heard from the Lord, so I'm going to do it. And so the worshipers went before the army and all the children of Israel, and they began to sing and they began to praise and worship the Lord. And the scripture says that when they got up on to the edge of the battlefield, when they saw him, they looked over and everybody was dead. And the army that they were going to face, there was a lot more of them than there was of King Jehoshaphat's bunch. But when they got up there, they saw, because the Lord told them, said, look, the battle is not yours. The battle is mine. So whatever you're facing, you got to understand the battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. Now, sometimes it's difficult to give up that battle, but let the Lord do it, because what happened with King Jehoshaphat, when they looked over the field and saw everybody was dead, they didn't have to do nothing. But what they did do is they went and picked up the spoil. Now, this is what blows my mind, because if I'm going to battle, I'm not taking all my precious stuff with me, because you're going to sleep in a tent if you get a tent. But the scripture says it took them 3 days to gather the spoil. So the battle of the Lord supplied them for who knows how long, but with great wealth they took back. And worship draws you close to the Lord. Being surrendered and submissive to the Lord, showing affection to Him, giving Him the attention He deserves, sets you apart from the world. Now, back early when I was talking about what sits on the throne of your heart, whatever that is, are you going to get any recognition from that thing or that person other than the Lord? But you will if the Lord is on the throne of your heart. He will bless you. In John 24, John chapter 4, verse 24, talks about God is searching for worshipers. I have for a long time said, Lord, I want to be one of those that you find. And there's days I know that He's found me. There's other days, if He had a belt, He'd probably whip the tar out of me. But James 4:7 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So this is my question. Are you with me? How do you draw close to God? Seems simple, doesn't it? Brian, you just stand right there on the end and face those guys, and you just begin in normal voice, just begin to talk about your wife, how much you love her, how awesome she is. Is she here? Heather, are you in here? Ah, see. Now, yeah, you. While I'm talking, you go ahead and you just start talking, but look at me, and if I do something, you do it back, okay? So how do you draw closer to God? Now, here's Brian is on the other end, and let's say he's talking, which he's talking. Talking. His wife is so awesome. We've got great kids and everything. And I'm standing over here, and I notice Brian, and I want to be close, so I give a little wave to Brian. He sees me. He does a little wave back. I asked him if he would do this. I didn't tell him what. I said, just do what I do anyway. So I know Brian is here. I've acknowledged his presence. And so, Q, come up and stand next to Brian. And y'all just kind of hang out together. So now they're fellowshipping. I want to be with those guys, but I'm over here. How do I draw near to them? I've already waved to Brian. He's waved back. So I know he's okay with me because he waved at me after all. Well, if I take another step, a little step closer, am I drawing closer to him? I'm still at hey guys, how's it going over there? But my desire to be with them makes me have to do something. So if I keep doing this, I'm getting closer. I don't hear what they're talking about. CQ's whispering. He's saying, he needs to button his shirt. No. But as I get closer, if they were talking, I would start to be able to pick out some words that they say. And they haven't tried to push me away. They're still wanting me to get closer. See, they're laughing. They're having... So that's making me even more so want to get over there. But they're stationary. They're there. What am I having to do? I got to effort. I got to put effort in it. Look, y'all maybe can't see it, but there's a little glistening on my head because I'm starting to sweat a little bit. It's effort to take a step to get closer to these guys. I want to be with them. I'm still out of arm's reach. I can't get them. But as I keep getting closer and closer, I can hear. He just whispered something and Quentin laughed. I don't know what he said because I ain't close enough yet. But I keep drawing closer to these guys. They're calling me a stud. When I get close enough, I can do a fist bump. Yeah, I like it. Thank you. Thank you. But see, what I have done from starting over there to right here, it took effort. But now I'm close enough. Anything that either one of these guys say, I am a part of. I can hear. I can respond. I can just sit and listen as they are encouraging me in the Lord, as they're telling me about things that they're doing. I can talk to them and tell them things I'm dealing with, but now I have got in their zone. But it took me some effort to get over there. It's the same way with the Lord. You may feel like you're on the other side of the stage and there's people over here that are fellowshipping and they're, you know, praising the Lord, and you feel like you're out of pocket. Well, guess what you got to do? You got to take a step. Yeah. Thanks, guys. You got to take a step. Now, Scripture says that the Holy Spirit never leaves us or forsakes us, but the step for us isn't necessarily a physical step, but it's a spiritual step. It's an emotional step. It's a step of the heart saying, I'm coming, Lord. Now, there's some of you over here, and let's say those guys are over there, and you're in a situation in your life, and you see they've got the answer. Well, Dad, burn the fire. And you're right there. You still had to put forth the effort to get over there, but you knew what was at the other side of the stage, and that's where you needed to be. It's the same with the Lord. He's right there in front of us. You can take a step. He's good with that. Right. Or you can run. You can pull up, I would say your skirt, but for us guys, you can hike up your jeans and you can take off running as fast as you want to go. Here's the thing. We will never learn everything about the Lord on this side of the world, but I'm going to try everything that I can do to know as much about him as I can. So again, we are worship warriors. Our greatest weapons are worship and the word. Use them. Exercise them in your personal life, in your corporate life. What you do here, you'll do at home. Or actually, maybe I should say, what you do at home, you'll do here. So if you do nothing at home, it's easy to do nothing here. But if you'll raise your hand, you don't have to get super jiggy. But again, the word rejoice means to be clamorously foolish. I've heard that word a lot of times. And there's been a couple of examples of clamorously foolish I've seen. And it looks foolish. But I know the heart of that person that was doing it. Now, I'll get around and I'll jump in my house a little bit. I don't know that I would do it here because it's, you know. But yet the Lord is worth us being clamorously foolish. And listen, if we all did it at the same time, then it wouldn't matter. Because we all be jumping up and down. We wouldn't worry about our hair. We wouldn't worry about jiggly parts. We'd just be worshiping the Lord. We would be clamorously foolish before the Lord. All right, worship team, come on back up. Listen, Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their life even to death." The blood of the Lamb is easy. We know Jesus shed his blood for us. Sometimes the difficult part is the word of our testimony. What is your testimony amongst your coworkers? And sometimes it's not your words, but it's your lifestyle. How do you act? in front of those around you. When you go to Walmart, do you get upset because there's only one cashier and you know the 12 item line, somebody's got 26 items? Or when you get up there and you can tell they have been having a bad day, what is your attitude towards that checkout person? Are you the same as the person before who was rude to them? That is part of our testimony. Because, listen, I was in Walmart 2 weeks ago, and I've been looking for this Mike's Hot Honey. I've got one bottle of it. It is so good, but I can't find it anymore. So I'm looking for this Mike's Hot Honey, and I see this young lady, Walmart worker, her hair was blue, and she said, she looked at me, and she said, "You go to Journey, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, I sure do. Been there a long time." I said, "Have you been coming?" She said, "No, because I work on Sundays, but I've watched you online." Let me tell you something. What would she have thought if I was over by the beer aisle? We never know. We never know who's looking. All right, we're going to do one more song. Will you pull my microphone out here too? Because I got one more verse. This is a verse that Pastor Joey says often, but it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to the Lord, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." You want to be perfect? Work on your mind. Submit it to the Lord. Be transformed into the image of Christ. Don't copy what the world is doing. Listen, we got to love the lost. We don't have to do what they do. We can't be afraid to say, "Look, I don't do that because of my relationship with the Lord. I love you. I'm out." They'll either reject you, laugh at you, and never bother you no more, or they'll respect you and respect your belief. And who knows? One day you may lead them to the Lord. Just because you said, "Look, I care for the Lord more than I care for the stuff that you're doing. But I love you enough to tell you, Jesus loves you. I love you, but I ain't going. I'm gonna transform my mind and my body to be like Christ." Now, can I switch mics real quick? There's always gonna be opportunities that your flesh is gonna rile up, and you may fall. That's okay. Because what is Jesus really, 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 really good at doing? Restoring us, forgiveness. You know, to coin a phrase from Rocky, it's not how many times you get knocked down, but it's how many times you get up. It's the same with the Lord. I think Rocky stole that line from Jesus. Because we know, the Bible says that King David, God said he's a man after my heart, but he messed up. But God drew him in every time David repented. We're no different than David. We're part of the Davidic covenant. He loves us just as much as he did David. My guitar. What's going on here? All right. See, here's the deal. It's only 11 o'clock. I'm done preaching. So now we get to put a little bit of action to what we have been talking about. Now, I'm not going to be looking at you. My focus isn't on you. My focus is still on the Lord. But I want to ask you this question. Do you need to make room for the Lord? More room? God will take everything that you give him. And according to Scripture, we're supposed to surrender all. We're supposed to lay our life down for the cross. That means everything. Now, am I there yet? I'm not. But I want to be. And again, it's like those guys standing in the corner. I'm taking a step because I want to be closer. Now, there are some days I'll run. Some days I may even take a step back. That's when I got to repent. So my question this morning to you is, and nobody knows this but you and the Lord, so you can tell us something and we don't know if it's true or not, but you can't fib the Lord because he knows. But where are you in your worship life? Are you a worship warrior? Or are you a worship wannabe? You don't have to sing pretty. You don't have to be able to carry a tune in a bucket. You don't have to be able to play an instrument. You don't even necessarily have to like to sing, even though it is part of the word. And I think the more you do it, the more you'll like it. But what we do have to do is we have to be an example to the world of what Jesus is to us. Because they're looking at the church, and there's some places they look at the church, and the church has failed miserably. Now, this building is just a building, but we are the church. And here in a little bit, when you leave, the church that met in Eva, Alabama is going to spread all over the county. And so my question is, do you want to be the church that brings glory and honor to the Lord? Or do you want to be that person that either does nothing or interferes with what the Lord might do in somebody's heart and life? Because we don't know. It's just like that girl in Walmart. I didn't know her, but she knew who I was. There's people that you don't know, but they know who you are. So what I want to do, I want to sing the song, Make Room, and want us to worship. Now, I want to tell you this. I want you to do what, if you want to come down here, you can come down here. I'm going to tell you this, that if you need to be dismissed, this is our dismissal, okay? But we're going to take this song, and we're going to sing it to the Lord. And if you need to make change some directions in your life, I want you to do that. You can do it where you're sitting, or you can do it down here. If you need somebody to pray with you, grab them by the hand and say, hey, come help me. Come pray with me. Are y'all in? Let's all stand up. Father, I thank you for what you're doing this morning. And Lord, I want to even say, if there's somebody in this house that doesn't know who you are, they've never had a personal relationship with you, Father, I pray that as we sing this song, that they give their heart to you, they confess Jesus as Lord, and from this day, they move on towards you every step that they take. Father, you know every heart in this room, and you know what they need. And Lord, I pray that you begin to minister to them as we begin to sing in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.